Welcome back to Through the Word. Today we're in 1 Kings chapter 13, and I am your host, Peyton Jones. If you've ever seen the movie The Book of Eli, it's about a post-apocalyptic future where a man named Eli walks the earth like Kang from the Kung Fu. He's carrying the last remaining copy of a Bible and trying to get it to a place of safety. He's a messenger delivering the mail, and because he's on a mission from God like the Blues Brothers, he has an ample dose of divine protection. Our chapter today opens up like something out of the Book of Eli, and we have a Clint Eastwood man with no name type figure known as the Man of God. He's going to prophesy against Jeroboam, the foreman who split off from King Solomon and led the rebellion against Solomon's dynasty, and the new king of the pagan northern kingdom. To see the type of protection that's on him, we need to read the passage. Chapter 13, verse 1 starts, "By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel, as Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering. By the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, 'Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Hosea shall be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you.' That same day the man of God gave a sign. 'This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it poured out.' When King Jeroboam heard that the man of God cried out against the altar of Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, 'Seize him.' But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up, so he couldn't pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart, and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, 'Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand will be restored.' So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and it became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me for a meal, and I will give you a gift.' But the man of God answered the king, 'Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came.' So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel." So far, so good. The man of God has been faithful and obedient and obeyed what God told him, and no harm has come to him. He's indestructible. He's untouchable, like Eli from the Book of Eli. Now, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, if any of you haven't seen the Book of Eli here. So there is a spoiler alert coming up. Just be warned that you were warned. This young prophet encounters an old prophet and chooses to listen to him rather than to listen to God. And so our story continues. An old prophet hears about the young man, this young prophet, and seeks him out. He finds him sitting under an oak tree and asks him to come back to his house so he can take care of him. He delivers the same speech, but the old prophet says, "Well, God told me something different." He was lying. "He told me you have to come to my house." Another lie. The old prophet didn't mean any harm, but he just wanted to hear more about how God had spoken to the young prophet. Later, when he finds out it cost the young prophet his life, the old prophet is shaken to the core and upset, proving that he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He just was. Now, it may seem harsh that God takes the prophet and consumes him by the jaws of a lion, but consider this. The prophet had to walk in God's command as much as those that he was prophesying to. And when he didn't, him being devoured on the road by a lion becomes a sign of the truth of his words as well, much like the altar breaking open and spilling out the ashes. So the lion was a sign, and we're told in verse 33, even after all of this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways, but once more appointed priests for the high places from all sorts of people. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated to the high places. This is a sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall, verse 34, and to its destruction from the face of the earth. Well, maybe God's called you to do something radical. Maybe something outside of the norm. He may have asked you to throw pizza nights at your house so that your friends could come and hang and you could talk about spiritual things. And maybe you're being told, just take them to church so they could hear some real preaching. Now, I'm not knocking preaching at church in any way. But maybe your friends need what you're going to do as much as what they would hear from coming to church. It's not an either or. Maybe it's a both and. And what they would get from time with you and a bit of pizza might be something that would soften their hearts to the gospel. But make sure that as you hear from God, as He begins to speak to your heart and tell you things, that you consider advice, but ultimately, you go with what you feel God is telling you. Unless it's crazy stuff, of course. As a psych nurse, I used to hear all kinds of people telling me God told them to kill so-and-so. So if it's something that violates God's word, that definitely ain't God. That may have been stating the obvious, but I take this view of people. They're dumb, like the young prophet and the old prophet in this story. They were both dumb. Don't be dumb. This has been a public service announcement from Through the Word. When I was growing up, the Bible was a best-selling book of all time. And the second best-selling book was a book called Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, a guy who spent a lot of time in jail for being a preacher of the gospel in Bedford, England, and decided to write a book. But the whole book was a parable. In this book, the main character, named Christian, starts off with a huge burden on his back representing sin. The first part of the book deals with him trying to get this burden relieved or taken off his back. And so he goes to a host of characters trying to figure out how to do that, but it's not until he comes to the cross that the burden rolls off freely, despite everyone trying to help him get it off, pry it off, or converse with him and give him advice on how to get it off. Well, the worldly wise man is a character that Bunyan has Christian encounter. Worldly wise man says, "Then will you listen to me if I give you good advice?" "Certainly I will," says Christian, "provided it is good, for I am in great need of wise counsel." "Then I would advise you to get rid of your burden with all possible speed, for you'll never have peace of mind until then, nor will you be able to enjoy the benefits of the blessing that God has bestowed upon you until such a time." Christian says, "What you describe is certainly what I'm seeking after, namely to be rid of my burden, but I can't get relief by myself. Nor do I know a man in our country who can lift it off my shoulders. For this reason, I'm heading in this direction, as I told you, so I might be rid of it." "Who directed you to go this way, so you could be rid of your burden?" "A man who appeared to me, a very great and honorable person, his name as I remember it, is Evangelist." "I most certainly beshrew or condemn him for his advice, for there is not a more dangerous and troublesome way ahead in all the world than that into which he has directed you. And you will prove this to be so if you submit to his guidance. Indeed, you appear to have experienced some of this trouble already, for I noticed the dirt on you that surely comes from the slough of despond." Now, the slough of despond, reader, was a little bit of depression and being down. But Mr. Worldly Wiseman will have none of that. Instead, he directs Christian to go to a series of other people who will give him, quote, better advice, like Mr. Legality. I can't make this stuff up. Eventually, Christian decides to listen to the evangelist and denounce the advice of the worldly wise man. That's what we should always do, no matter what advice we get. We should always make a beeline to the cross, like Charles Spurgeon said. That's always a safe bet. It'll lead to more grace and more peace. But in the end of this chapter, God gets a twofer. Here's how the story resolves. The old prophet ends up proclaiming that the message of the younger prophet was true after all. Of course, by then the young prophet is dead. And he didn't heed God's warning and became a living or dying example of what he had warned Jeroboam about. Well, read 1 Kings chapter 13 today, and as you do, make a beeline back to the cross.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.